Unprepared to engage Mormon missionaries when they knock on your door? Perhaps the book Mormonism 101 will help. Mormonism 101, published by Baker Book. Available at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Yesterday, literally millions of professing Christians celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, what we want to talk about today is the resurrection of Christ really would not have all that much of a significant meaning if it wasn't for what took place on what is known as Good Friday. So today we're going to be talking about the sacrifice of Christ, tying it in with Mormonism, and why we feel that the Mormon understanding of the sacrifice of Christ, the atonement, if you will, is really not a biblical understanding of the atonement. So today we're going to begin by looking at Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 11.
It reads, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance."
Now let's go back to the beginning of that passage, in verse 11, where it says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come." First point we want to bring out. In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you have literally thousands of males who hold what they call the office of the high priest. There's no biblical justification for that. There was only one high priest. Now, they could point to the time of Jesus where you had both Annas and Caiaphas. But if you study the history behind that, you see that there was political reasons for having two at the same time. One of them was removed for political reasons, and his son-in-law was put in his place. But still, only one functioned as the high priest among the Jewish people at that time, while perhaps two may have had that title. Kind of like when a person retires from being the president, he's still referred to as the president, even though he doesn't function as the president. But in Mormonism, you have thousands of these high priests. So first of all, right there, we have a difference between what the Bible is teaching us and what the Mormon Church is trying to get across to us.
And we also ought to point out that that high priest was a Levite. He came from the tribe of Aaron, and Latter-day Saint high priests could come from a variety of tribes, including Ephraim.
And it's interesting that you bring that up, because in the book of Numbers, in chapter 3, verse 10, it specifically says that unless you are one of Aaron's sons, okay, you didn't have the right to officiate as a priest. There was the death penalty involved if you even tried to. And more than once does it make this mention. It talks about it in other places as well. But yet in Mormonism, they don't seem to care what the Bible has to say on this, because they just make it up as they go along and they just insert whatever they want, because that's what Joseph Smith thought. And they don't question Joseph Smith. But notice what it says here in verse 12, "Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all." That is emphasized in the book of Hebrews more than once, I might add. The fact that Jesus goes in and offers himself as this sacrifice one time, making the temple unnecessary from that point on. Have you ever wondered why Christians have not placed a strong emphasis on building temples? It's because we don't need to.
And have you ever wondered why that the people in the story of Acts, in the book of Acts, never go to the temple to make sacrifices? If you're going to make that argument, it would be an argument from silence. They go to the temple area, but not to make blood sacrifices with animals.
No, because Jesus, he offers himself as the perfect sacrifice. And the point that I think is often missed with Latter-day Saints is the fact that when he offers himself as a sacrifice, it's a sacrifice unto death. And that's brought up in verse 16.
Yeah, verse 16 says, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood."
Let's talk about that, because it says, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator." This is why, Christians, we cannot accept a garden sacrifice, as Mormons understand it, or this garden atonement, as it's understood within Mormon circles. It makes it very clear in verse 16, Hebrews 9:16, that there must of necessity, that's a pretty strong word, you'd think. It's of necessity that there be a death involved. There was no death involved in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Mormons will argue, yes, but he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Okay, I'll give that to you. But there is no death involved. So the question I have is, let's say Mormonism is true, and we were to ask our Mormon friends, if you're going to say that there was a garden atonement, am I to assume that after Jesus was arrested, after spending time in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, which, by the way, he was praying for himself, but afterwards he's arrested by the soldiers, Judas comes on the scene, he's eventually arrested by the soldiers, and they're taking him back for his illegal trial, and let's say on the way back, Jesus dies of a heart attack, would there have been an atonement at that point? I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, it is.
Because even though his heart attack had nothing to do with his time in the garden, it happens after, it has nothing to do with that. Could we say that an atonement had taken place at that particular time? I would argue no. It could not have taken place at that time.
And yet in Mormonism, it seems so often that the cross and the death that took place there is an afterthought almost, as maybe kind of the completion of the Garden of Gethsemane, but it seems like the Garden of Gethsemane has been emphasized more than the cross in Mormonism.
Well, as we talked about in our series, when we talked about the three gardens and Bruce McConkie's speech, he certainly does mention the atonement taking place in the garden. And then, he tends to throw in the cross, as you have pointed out, kind of like an afterthought. And I find that a lot of Mormon leaders do that, even though many times when they talk about the atonement, sometimes they never even mention the cross. So I would have to assume that many Mormons, at least, think that the atonement was complete in the garden, since they don't often mention the cross whenever they're talking about the garden atonement. But here's the thing. The Jews understood that there had to be a death, that it wasn't just the sweating of an animal. They knew there had to be a death. And I think in that area, the Jews seem to hit on something that even the Mormons don't seem to get.
Mm.
There was a death involved. Now, we are offering through the month of April, from today through the month of April, we want to offer, for your help in this ministry, a video that was produced by our good friend, Joel Kramer, called The Sacrifice. Why don't you explain what this video is about?
Well, Joel Kramer lives in Israel. Actually, he'll be living there to the end of the year, and then he's going to move to Jordan. But he is a videographer and has done a number of videos. But the one that he did in 2011, The Sacrifice, I really enjoyed this video. I've enjoyed all of his videos, but this one took it to a different level. He found a place in Jerusalem where they were actually sacrificing a Passover lamb. During Passover, and he also went to Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans also sacrifice.
Now, we should mention that Mount Gerizim is located in Nablus, which is in Samaria. It's an area that tourists don't often go to, and it's right near what was known as Shechem in Genesis chapter 12. And it's on Mount Gerizim, which is across from Mount Ebal, which is mentioned in the Old Testament. This is where the blessings and the curses were shouted back and forth when the children of Israel came into the area. But on Mount Gerizim is where a group of Samaritan Jews sacrifice an animal.
Yeah.
And that's what this video also shows.
And so what Joel does with showing these different sacrifices that are going on even to this day, he takes the Old Testament and shows how Jesus prefigured what was meant to be done with the cross, what we celebrate as Easter, Good Friday, and then the resurrection from the dead. And in John chapter 1, John the Baptist is talking about Jesus. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so what he does by using Isaiah 53, John chapter 1, and other places shows how Jesus did that work for us already, whereas these Jewish folks who are well-meaning, realizing they need to have a blood sacrifice, are doing the sacrifice of animals in a way that will cover them and atone for their sins.
Now, we have to point out that the group of people that are doing these sacrifices in this video, and they are actual sacrifices, folks, they don't represent the sins of the nation Israel as we find in the Old Testament. Certainly, when those sacrifices were made, they were made on behalf of the sins of the people, the entire nation of theocratic Israel. These people are acting more on behalf of themselves and perhaps even their families,
right,
we suppose. And certainly, there are a lot of Jews who would not see this act as even being necessary, which raises the question, well, then what is necessary for a Jew to have the forgiveness of sins?
How Joel puts this together, I really think every Christian ought to watch this. If it doesn't move you to tears, then you don't really understand Good Friday, because these are animals. But when you understand that Jesus actually took the place of those animals and we don't have to do this anymore, and how sorry we might feel for a goat that is going to be sacrificed. He does it in a very tasteful way, but I think it will make you understand the true meaning of Resurrection Sunday.
If you don't really understand the connection between what took place on Good Friday and what took place on the Resurrection Day, Sunday, I think this video would certainly be a help. This is why we want to offer it to you, and we do thank you for your support of this ministry and your support of Viewpoint on Mormonism. And we want to make this available to our listeners for a gift of $20 or more.
On the front page of MRM.org, the right side, just click on the PayPal, and you can put your donation of $20 or more in there. And then make sure you do this, though. To get the video mailed to you, you need to put the word sacrifice in the special instructions to the seller, which is right below where you would put the amount of your donation.
So make sure that you put in that box the word sacrifice so we know that you want that video, and we'll get that to you. Please give us a little time to process this and to get it in the mail to you. We would certainly appreciate your support of this ministry, and we'd like to send you for a gift of $20 or more this video called The Sacrifice.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Pastor, could your congregation benefit from a presentation that explains the differences between Mormonism and New Testament Christianity? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson would be honored to come to your church. Whether it's a single crash course or a weekend symposium, hundreds of churches have benefited from their fully documented and easy-to-understand PowerPoint presentations. If you'd like to schedule MRM at your church, simply write us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org.